Good morning, True North Church. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Good morning, True North Church.
Good morning.
All right, we got. You know, we can't let the first service outshine us because then people get up early. There's something wrong with them. Some of them get up by 5 in the morning. What are they doing, right? So here we are. You know, sometimes I get on my kids about being too excited about things, but they get it naturally. The first service, I got up before the offering was over and just started preaching. So I waited this time, and so here we are. And I got some stuff. If you're a kid or a kid at heart, I've got one of these for you. Has anybody never seen one of these? Anybody never seen one? Would you guys like one? None for you. And you don't have to be a kid to get one. If you need something to play with during the service so that you'll remain quiet and attentive. All right, so we'll pass these out real quick. As most of you know, just take one and pass them down. All right, who else needs one? Would you like one? It's okay to be a kid to get free stuff, right? You'd like one?
Thanks.
Anybody else? There we go. Did you want a different? Well, you can't do everything well. And there's plenty. You can get these things. So, like, I told the first service. You pass that down. One extra. All right. I didn't have as many to pass out in the first service. So, yeah, I told everybody in the first service, the first time I ever seen one of these. My family, we used to go to Ocean City, Maryland quite a bit, and they had some arcades there. So we'd go in, and you could spend $100, and you could get a couple tickets, and you could win one of these because that's how valuable they are. I should have sold these, right? So this is a pretty cool thing. It's a woven mesh cylinder, and so you stick your fingers in there like this, and when you pull apart, it tightens. It constricts, and so it is called a Chinese handcuff. Anybody got another name for them? All right, man, that's pretty cool. There you go. And so the way this works is the harder you pull, the tighter it squeezes. So if you put one on all your fingers, it becomes infinitely harder to get your fingers out, but you can still do it. So anyhow, I just wanted to share this with the kids this morning because I think it's a pretty cool illustration of something that we're going to get to as we move forward in our service today. And we'll see how it applies. So I threw them in the suitcase, and I had the suitcase also for illustrative purposes so that we can see with our eyes a word picture. I want to paint a picture with words, and I'd like for you to be able to carry it with you and remember it. So let's start with prayer. Father, I just come before you now, completely inadequate. Unable to do anything in my own strength, Lord, I just acknowledge unless you build the house, we labor in vain. And Father, we don't need to hear from another man. Lord, we pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit without measure, that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts. Father, we pray that you would do a work in us as a church that the world has not seen the likes of. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would give us your Spirit. Help us to be like you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I like it. You guys are on point. So I got an old suitcase with me. And so I want to talk a little bit about carrying words. Anybody ever carry words with them? If you open your Bibles or devices to Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll look at some words there from the Word of God. And we're continuing on our main theme, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, which says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nobody turns on a light and hides it underneath of a bowl. No, you take the light and you put it up high, you put it on a shelf, you put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. And this is, I didn't use my light this morning, first service. This is what we do. We put lights up high so that it gives light to everybody. We don't hide that thing. And what the main, one of the main things that want to communicate in this is that if we find that we live in a dark world, a world in which we would shake our head and be like, I just don't know how people can be like that. I don't know how the world can be so dark. I don't know how there can be so much rampant evil. The thing that we have to realize is we're the light. If the world is dark, it's because the church of Jesus Christ, those that are possessors of the truth, are not shining as brightly as we can. And there's a lot of reasons for that. So this morning, we're going to look at Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. This is where you go if you want to learn to be a dude. Get your dudeness. And so I'm going to start reading in chapter 6, verse 1, and I'll read all the way down to when I stop. These are the commandments, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you and observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So that, there's a reason, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. You know, there's a verse in the Bible I tell my kids all the time, obey your parents that you may live. That's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. Hear, Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land, flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Come, can I have one of my children? All right, you can stay there. I just wanted to see the response. I wanted to impress on them, but I won't do that right now. So impress them on your children. Impress these words of God on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. See, when I talk about Jesus all the time, and you're like, it's not Sunday, right? The Bible tells us to talk about Jesus all the time, all the time. Don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't let your heart stray from Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You know, if we can learn anything in all of our years of coming to church, the answer is Jesus. All right, Dylan's got that down. So this is the part I want to get to, though. It says, tie them. So Tell your kids, impress them on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your house and on your gates. So if you turn on the TV and you can look at the Wailing Wall, you will see Orthodox rabbis out there, and you'll see that they have these little boxes on their hand that they wrap around with leather bands, and they tie them on their forehead and on their hand, and they often have these little look scrolls that they'll nail next to the doorway and on the posts of their house. And inside that, there is a specific scripture. Does anybody know what that scripture is? Pop quiz, and you all just failed. So at the first service, somebody guessed. I'm like, wait a minute, you don't know? You're just going to throw something out. I knew it one time. I can't remember, so that can be your homework. Look that up and see what the scripture is inside that box. Maybe it'd be neat to know. But the interesting thing is that here these guys, God has commanded them to carry the Word of God with them on their hand and on their forehead, on their hand and on their forehead. So you see two things. One thing is that in all of our ways, we should acknowledge God. God should never be out of your mind. In fact, the definition of a wicked person is that God is in none of their thoughts. God is in none of their thoughts. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gone a day without thinking about God? I have. And usually a day leads to a week, which leads to a month. Next thing you know, oh my goodness, where was that? In fact, if I went back and told you the story of my whole life, I would tell you about the first sermon I ever preached. It was one sentence. It went like this. You can forget God. I had my uncle, he asked me, he said, you know, I had gone through a dramatic turn in my life. I had rededicated my life to the Lord. And I had an uncle, he asked me one day, he said, Travis, what on earth is going on, man? You can forget God. You can forget God. Hey, listen, if you want to walk away from God, God will let you walk that way, and he'll let you experience the consequences of your actions. Why? So that when you get to the end of that and you see that it leads to death, maybe you'll turn around and embrace him. So When you go into the land flowing with milk and honey, when you sit down, when you walk in the way, tell your kids, hey, there's something that you need to carry with you through your life. Pack it in a bag and don't ever, 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 never, ever forget it, because it will be like a light to your path and a guide to your heart. It will teach you. It will instruct you. It'll keep you safe. It is the most amazing thing you ever have. Carry the word of God with you. Do not let go of it. Do not forsake it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about buying the truth and not selling it, because in my own life I can see there have been times when I have forgotten God because I sell the truth. And let me explain to you how this works. So a long time ago, there was a day when I was working in a factory, and I was making really long boards into short boards, and I'd been in this factory for a while, and in fact, you know, the boss was so happy with me. He says, oh, Travis, you're great at this, you're great at that. Oh, I need you to go do this. And so what I found myself working on a chop saw, making big boards into little boards, and each day there was a sheet of probably 1,000 pieces of lumber that they needed to be able to crate up the material that they were manufacturing to ship it out. So they needed all this lumber cut so they can make boxes. And the first day wasn't bad. The second day was a little monotonous. After 2 weeks on this chop saw, day in and day out, man, my mind, I went to a bad place, right? So I'm sitting there and I'm looking around at other people, people that show up late for work, people that go to the bathroom for 2 hours, 2 to 3 times a day. I'm looking at all these people around me that could be doing this job that any monkey could do. You know, you don't have to have any special skills or to be talented to do this. You're just set to stop and chop, 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 chop. This is life. Right here, right? It is a monotony of minutia in which we do the same repetition every day. The laundry always needs done. So I'm sitting there and I'm running, I'm operating this chop saw and I'm having the time of my life, right? And in my heart, in my mind, I am cursing the thing that God had given me to do. And I wholeheartedly believed that it was something God had given me to do. I never felt like I interviewed for jobs well. Like I was always this kind of like, if there was a wrong thing to say, I'd say it, right? I'd like to believe I've gotten better, but maybe not. But anyhow, the whole job process, going there and what God was doing in my life, man, I wholeheartedly believed with everything that I had in me that God had given me this job, right? And let me ask you this. Is there anything in your life that God hasn't given to you? No. Life's a gift from God. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do it with your whole heart as though you're doing it for the Lord and not as unto men. That's a truth. That's a truth. And if we sell that truth, what we'll find is we'll find ourselves standing doing some menial task, cursing it. Lord, or not Lord, but because God wasn't in my thoughts. God, I'd rather be doing anything than this. I would rather be pumping Port-a-Johns on a 90-degree day. I'd rather, you know, whatever it is, I'd rather be doing anything else than this. And that was probably one of the few unique moments in my life where I felt, heard the Holy Spirit's still small voice. Why are you cursing what God has given you? Oh, ouch. And that day marked a turning point in my life. Don't curse what God's given you to do. Buy the truth and sell it not. Do everything with your whole heart as though you're doing it for the Lord and not as unto men. Because the thing that we see is that God has given us the truth, and Jesus says that if you will hold to my teachings, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. If you will hold on to the things that I am saying, you will know it and it will give you freedom. You can taste and see that God is good. You get to experience Christianity. And in fact, if you are living out a Christianity that is not experienced, something is wrong. And so when we take the word of God and we forget what it says, we will find ourselves in bondage. And do we know who's bonding us? It's self-imposed. This is a bondage of ignorance, right? Because anybody who's, this thing might get you once. It might get you the first time. I remember being a little kid being like, oh, I'll never get out, right? And now I like to believe I'm strong enough to break it if I pulled really hard, but maybe not, so I'm not going to try. Don't embarrass myself in front of a big group of people. But so if you know, once you know how to get out of bondage, it's easy. It's not difficult for us to master this type of bondage. So one of the things that I see as far as letting love out, that I find it so important, is that as people who follow Jesus Christ, as people who have the Word of God, we're the people who have found the treasure in the field. And so if the treasure that we found in the field does not impact our lives and change us in any way, what do we have to offer the world around us? You're the light of the world. Nobody else other than the Church of Jesus Christ is going to offer the world light. Light can't come from darkness. Light has to be brought into the world from those that have the truth. And so, the Bible tells us that judgment must begin with the house of God, because everybody else is in ignorance. The first message I ever preached was that you can forget God. It is possible to sell the truth. It is possible to experience life to a lesser degree than what God offers it. And this was the thought that occurred to me, that if the church is the light of the world, the reason the world is so dark is because of us. We have to take responsibility. It is my responsibility to live out the gospel truth in such a way that maybe, just maybe, I can reach other people with what God says. And what I have found in life to be true is that when I can give a testimony, it has more power than saying, well, the Bible says. let me unpack that a little bit. One of the things I think we see in the Bible is that, you know, of all the apostles, we need to know the Word of God. We need to have an experience with the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And what that verse is saying is that the Word of God is a mirror, and that when we look into the Word of God, we will find conviction there. We will find conviction there as we walk with the Holy Spirit of God and say, God, I don't know what this means. You know, if there was a long point in my life, a long time where I tried to understand the Word of God that being a Christian meant be a good person, give part of your income back to God, do what you say you're going to do, be where you're going to say you'll be 15 minutes early. We're raised in a culture that upholds an ethical standard that looks like Christianity. And for a lot of people, we can get it in our head that this is what being a Christian means, is being a good person. The problem with that is that we can stand here and we can talk about what love is and the fact that love is demonstrated in the person of Jesus Christ, and that there's no greater love than that a man lay down his life for his friends. We can talk about that. We can talk about the forgiveness that we've received from God, and we can walk out of this building and somebody can cut us off and we can start yelling out our window at them. On the way home, my kids can push three buttons and set me off. And the response isn't love, right? And this isn't saying that love doesn't discipline its children, but love looks different in pride, and that pride gets irritated when I don't get my way. And so, sit down, button it up. Where love always will do what's best for the other person and has their interest at heart. Love responds differently than pride. And oftentimes what we see in life is that life reveals that there's still a lot of pride in us. My wife told me a story a few years back about the family gathering down at a lake, and they're standing on a floating dock, and I think you were watching somebody on a jet ski or something, and then more and more people came down. This floating dock sank and sank and sank and sank, and eventually the water lapped the bottom of the boards, and all the spiders that were underneath came to the surface. Yeah. Well, this is life. Pressure upon pressure upon pressure will reveal what's really in our heart. So oftentimes, you know, it's like we're like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, and he's like, you're slaves, and they're like, we're not slaves, we're free. We have Moses as our father. And like they're living under Roman captivity, and it, you know, just the whole thing is mind-boggling. Not only that, but Jesus was speaking spiritually that you're of your father, the devil, that he has you, he owns you. You are in bondage to him because whoever sins is a slave to sin, and it is impossible for you to break this bondage. But thankfully, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, every shackle that holds us slave and in bondage to sin is broken. And Jesus says, take your fingers out of that thing, boy. Get up and walk out of that grave. Come out of that darkness. Pick up your cross and follow me. I've shown you how to do it. You can do it, but you have to understand this one thing is, abide in love. Abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. There's nothing that I can do apart from God. You know, and even understanding what Christianity is, so oftentimes, I was talking with a gentleman this morning. He said he preached twice in his home church. The first time he nailed it was all God. And the second time he got up and said, I got this. And a lot of us, you know, that's the confidence that we walk in. We walk in the confidence of the flesh. I've done this enough times that I know I can get up here and talk to you for 30 minutes about who God is. But what I realize, if God doesn't show up, then it's nothing. And the desire of my heart is that God would show up. Because if your hearts don't burn within you when we talk about the cross, if our hearts don't burn within us, something's off. Something's off. I got asked one time for a job interview what superhero I would be if I could be a superhero. And I'm like, I don't even watch superheroes, right? I'm like, none of them? I don't know. I continue to think about things after the fact, and I think it was just like, this is the type of guys they were. And it's kind of like another group of guys would be like, hey, who's your favorite football team? Right? It didn't mean anything. There was no point to the question. But when I really think about it, what I think is like, you know, superheroes, you know, you got a guy who gets bit by a dangerous, deadly spider, or he gets exposed to radiation. In real life, those people die. It doesn't make you stronger. It kills you. And so what is their obsession with superheroes? And I think we're still looking for the Superman. We're looking for God-given strength in a human being. And we see what happens when a man has superhuman strength. Look at Samson. We need something outside of us. We need something beyond ourselves that is not of us, because otherwise we will stand in the edifice of our own pride and say, look at me, look what I did, look what I can do. Yeah, and that's empty. It's vain without God. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. You know, there's nothing you can do this week to go out and be a super Christian except for get up in the morning. Jesus, I'm going to mess this up. Like I always mess it up. I don't even see the devil coming at me. But he hands out this bondage to me, and every time I take it, and next thing I know, I'm like, oh, man, I've done it again. I've got my fingers stuck in this thing, and I don't know how to get out. I want to see what a free church looks like. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Just meditate on that for a minute. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. God is a Spirit. The words that I speak to you, they are Spirit and truth. My Word is Spirit and truth. Do you understand how important the Word of God is? Pick it up. Don't sell it. Hold on to it. Carry it with you. Tie it to your forehead. Tie it to your hand. Let it be the guiding principle of life, because it is life. It's almost like we are little programs running in an operating system, and Jesus is like, here is the antivirus. You've got issues. Run this program. Run it. Run it. Run it. Run it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We've got to learn how to love. We've got to learn how to love people the way that Jesus loves us. And the only way we can do that is when we get on our knees and we start saying, God, I don't got this. In fact, I often find myself each and every day at work cursing what you've given me to do. I find myself with attitudes about people because I deem it an offense, or they wronged me, or I think they wronged me, or I think they meant it this way. And instead of holding on to the truth that says to love like God loves, I walk in darkness and I think that everything will be okay. I walk in darkness and I think that I can come in here and worship the way God calls me to worship. The Bible says that if you come to the throne of grace and your brother has something against you, leave your gift there and go make things right with your brother. It is impossible for you to say that you love God who you have not seen if you don't love your brother who you have with you. And so the next immediate thought we'll all have is, well, who's my brother? Well, who came to mind? Who's that person that's a thorn in your flesh? It's not easy. And it's impossible. Gracie knows who her brother is, I can tell. So we all have people that drive us crazy, and I'd be willing to bet we all are driving somebody else crazy. But this is what the Word of God says, is that they, the outside world, the world that lies in darkness and ignorance, in its bondage to sin, will know that we are God's disciples, disciples of Jesus Christ, by our love for one another. I've been thinking a lot about church and what church is and what church could look like, and so just some more word pictures for you guys, especially there's a lot of ways I feel like, wouldn't it be cool if church was like an AA meeting? Hi, my name's Travis, and I'm a recovering sinner. I got my 30-minute chip. Would there be a one-year chip? Would there be a one-week chip? Probably not. You know, I said this in the first service, and I'm standing up here thinking about it. Like, did I, in my mind, go anywhere that I shouldn't have gone, that love would say don't go there, between the time I woke up and the time I got here? Probably. Probably didn't even know I did it. But, you know, the neat thing about AA is recognizing that there's a higher power. Recognizing that you're in bondage. This thing's got me, and I can't break free. I can't get free. Whatever your thing is, you can't get free. You have to acknowledge Jesus, or it will forever have you. And when we acknowledge Jesus, Jesus breaks the bondage. He breaks the power Satan has over us in our lives to hold us against our will. And so once you ask Jesus into your life and you have the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can hold you against your will. If you find yourself in bondage to something, it is because we choose to hold on to it. I think in my own life, you know, it's easy to see that I have certain character traits, and it would be easy to just say, well, I'm forgiven. It's just who I am. But where in the Bible does it say we can ever give up fighting the good fight? Where in the Bible does it say, oh, the mote in your own eye, don't worry about that. It just is what it is. Where in the Bible does it give us permission to quit the process of sanctification? Everybody, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. And there ain't nothing like the purity of Jesus Christ. He is love. Jesus Christ is the exact representation. He is the exact representation of what God is. What is God? Does anybody know what God is? My kids, do you know what God is? I tell you all the time. Love. God is love. How often do I step out of what love is? Don't be honest. Just keep it to yourself. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, so when we think about taking being the light starts in our home. I think it's extremely hypocritical of me to try to say, I'm going to be like Jesus to strangers if I can't be like Jesus to my kids and my wife. In fact, the Bible says something about wives. It says, husbands, love your wives the way Jesus loved the church, laying down his life for her. I don't even want to think about that too long. It just hurts to think about how far I am off of what love is. And I'm the light of the world. Now, I think a lot of the beauty of the church is that let me go back to my AA analogy. Hi, I'm Travis and I'm a sinner. I'm a recovering sinner, dependent upon the grace and mercy and love of God. But that does not give me authority or the right to say that this is just how I am. Now, you got to keep fighting the good fight. You got to keep in step with love and who God is. So, I go way back to my personal testimony of that day running that chop saw when I'm cursing this thing and the Holy Spirit says, how is it you're cursing what God's given you to do? You know, it's like I won the victory in that moment. God won the victory. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. I responded. I said, you know what? I'm going to speak to myself in hymns and spiritual songs, and I'm going to praise Jesus. Jesus, you know, when we start doing that, what's the Bible say? If anything is pure, if anything is lovely, if anything is of a good report, think about such things. Don't think about how bad you got it, how awful it is, how bad the people around you are, how much this guy smells like something rotten. Don't think about those things. Don't focus on those things. Focus about the good things. Thank God I work in a place where I don't have to give all my money to the government. Thank God I'm in a country where I can find a job, where I can provide for my family, where there's food. You can walk to any store in this town and there's food, filled with food. There's a abundance of food. Can you imagine standing up in a line waiting and waiting? Maybe there's not anything. What are you focused on? What are you focused on? The Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, lest you become weary. Fix your eyes. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Fix your eyes. Think about this. You know, in my own Christian walk, I shared this last week. So oftentimes I see myself as somebody, you know, that my view of salvation is that God picks up a dead man from out of the water. He resuscitates me. He brings me back to life. You're amazing. And the first thing I want to do is jump out of God's hand and go do something for God, apart from God, in my own strength, by my own will. Why? Because of pride? Because I think I can? Because I think I should? Back in it. And so what do? We go over here and we try to do this thing for God. It doesn't work. We fail miserably. What happened? Oh, yeah, let me go get back in God's hand. The nice thing about humble beginnings is that you have to rest on God because there is no possible way you can do it without God. The church of Laodicea, you become rich and you say you have need of nothing. What are they? They've forgotten their first love. They have forgotten love. They've forgotten the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that sets them free. This is the means by which we know what love is. We love because he first loved us. Love is the thing. Love is the truth that we have to hold on to. Love is God. And the Bible tells us that we can partake in God's divine nature. Isn't that amazing? You can, you don't, see, it's like, I think for a lot of my life, I thought I had to be what love was, do what love did. I had to do the deeds that love did. But that's not what God wants. God wants you to become love. Become love. So this isn't like, oh, I need to respond in a loving way. No, in my heart, I need to get rid of the things that cause me to respond the way I do. Because the way you respond to life comes forth from your heart. The things that you've treasured up there are there before the event happens that causes you to lose your cool. You know, that pressure that makes the spider comes out. The spiders were there all along. You just didn't know it. I gave an analogy this morning, you know, in buying the truth, it's kind of like you can be on your way to the most important event of your life. Maybe you've got to get to the airport on time and your car breaks down. So right then, when that car breaks down, what is in your heart will determine how you respond to that event. Because you can A, lose it, get out of your car, start kicking an inanimate object. Anybody ever done that? I kicked the wall earlier. Mark looked at me funny, like, you might have broke that, buddy. We got a lot of people working on this stuff. So you can get out of your car and start kicking the tires. Oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. I got so much to do. I got somewhere to be. This is the worst day ever. Or you can get out of your car and you can be like, God, your car broke down. Right? Listen, I am not self-employed. I work for a company. If that truck breaks down that I drive every day, it's no skin off my back. I mean, I get, as a company, there's cost to be absorbed, but I'm going to call Jared up. Hey, man, your truck's broke. Not my problem, not my responsibility. And so often in life, this is what we do. We pick up problems. We pick up responsibility that God never intended for us to carry. And so we're responding to life from the burden and weight that we are carrying that is not ours because we have sold the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. As a church, We are the church. We are a group of people who claim to know who God is. And we have one focus in life, and that is to be the light of the world. If any of you are theatrical, and maybe I can get this together at some point, we can act it out. I thought it would be really neat to do a skit. And so in this skit, people are running in. It's Sunday morning. It looks like, and I would probably use an old traditional-looking church with pews and a big pulpit. And so on this Sunday morning, people are running in. They're coming together, and they're praying together, and they're talking about, hey, this is the bondage that, you know, the devil held this chain out to me this week, and man, I almost fell for it. Can you please pray for me in this area? You know, it's like I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. And so church would be this place where we come together, man, because we need God, because we are in the middle of a war between light and dark, and it's a spiritual battle in heavenly places, and we need something that's beyond ourselves, and we would come together and say, God, help us! And so in this skit, there'd be one guy that comes in and sits down and is like, when's the service start? I'm just here for the service. What are you guys doing? And so, I think we've been conditioned in such a way through our history of church is that you come and you just watch a guy put on a performance. But it's not me, it's not Paul, it's us. It's we. What can we do? We're not just here to hear a nice sermon and go, oh, that was nice. Now, we got work to do. I know in a couple weeks we're going to be talking about starting small groups up again. Man, we have got to be able to love one another in such a way that people stop and go, oh, wow, look how they love each other. I have a hard time remembering people's names, so. But if you love people, you remember their name. You remember what's important to them. You think about them. You think about them when they're not around. You know, I think we take people for granted. It's like you're doing your job, I'm doing my job, and we fail to stop and say, hey, how are you doing? Can I pray for you? We fail to realize that we're in the middle of a spiritual battle in which our bondage or freedom depends on one another. Think about that. I think I brought this up last week. What if your freedom depends on people around you? How can we be the church that we need to be? And this, I mean, I don't want you to come and wait for me to give you the answer. This should be the heart cry of us as a church. God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do I need to work on? God, is there something in my life that I need to change? And I believe, because I've seen it in my own life, as I lean into God, as I press into the unseen and ask Him to, Lord, is there any iniquity in me? That's a dangerous question to ask. Go get into your closet alone and say, God, is there something in my life that I need to work on? And see if God doesn't speak to you. Either that or we've reached, you know, sinless perfection. God's like, no, you're good, man. He's never said that to me, ever. And if ever you think that God is saying that to you, ask your wife. That way you two witnesses can confirm it. We are striving for a goal. We are striving for a goal. We have found a treasure in a field. And I believe if we can wrap our arms around that and wrap our arms around each other, we can be a church the way God intends a church to be. I'm trying to decide if I got enough time to get into the next thought. Well, you guys got a minute? No, nobody's running for the door. So I'm going to go for it. You know, as just a core belief here is that any time that a church manifests itself, it is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no church. We have to have the Holy Spirit. Two people get together, they say, hey, let's walk together in the Word of God. Let's see how far we can take this thing. Love holds people together. The more solid we are on loving one another, the larger a group can grow. And the minute that division comes in, you know, the Bible talks, we went through the book of Corinthians, there's quarrels and fighting among you. Like, Paul's like, what's that about? Like, there shouldn't be any quarreling among God's people. There shouldn't be any quarreling among God's people. There should be no division among God's people because we are one in Jesus Christ. We are baptized into the same Spirit. I don't get mad at my toe when I have a problem with it. I nurse it back to health. It's part of my body. We are members one of another in the body of Christ. So as I look at the historical church, you know, there's a lot of different denominations. And what I think I can say is that what we see is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. Some people got a hold of the truth and they ran with the ball. And what what always seems to happen is the same thing that I do in my life, is that when you're running with the ball, pride steps in and you think you're right and you go off on a tangent and there's something wrong with that, you guys and your Pope. And so what we do is we say, hey, you got this one thing wrong. I'm pretty sure it's wrong. I can see biblically it's wrong. Everything you have must be wrong. Don't want nothing to do with that. But how is it then that if we look at every other denomination, every other, you know, what the people that would consider themselves evangelicals, how can we say they got it wrong, 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 you got it wrong, I got it right? Is it possible that maybe they got some stuff right, just like maybe I'm getting some stuff right? One of the things that, you know, it goes back to if there's anything good, pure, lovely, think about such things. I think there's some really beautiful things about the Catholic Church. And one of those things is confession. The Bible tells us, confess your sins one to another. The opposite of that would be hiding your sins. And so this is what I like about the AA model, why I think it would be neat to have a church that looks like Alcoholics Anonymous with the 12 steps. So for, you know, instead of saying, my name is Travis, and I'm, you know, I am a sinner It's confession. It's confession. And so what does AA walk you through? I'm helpless. I'm a helpless sinner. One of the next steps, go to everybody that you've wronged and make it right. Confession. More confession. What is that? That's a church that does not hide sin. Do we look at other churches and see that they're getting it right? Not exactly. Not exactly. But if you look at the church at whole, imagine a single lens of a glass that light's shining through. It's fractured. It's fractured. It's cracked in a bunch of different places, and it's fractured. All these little different denominations and different thoughts and different ways of worshiping and different ways of understanding God. And a lot of those, I think they do have things wrong. But at the same time, I can't say that I got everything right. And so maybe we need to look at people and say, well, what are they getting right? We don't have to be so critical. Are they doing something right? Do they have a right understanding of God in some way that I don't? So that's that thought of the church as a whole shining with bright intensity, but it's been fractured. We see that. And so the thing that we have to overcome as Christians is don't fracture. Don't fracture. Love holds us together. And as long as love is our God, we will find a way to worship with one another. You know, there's so many things that want to put us in bondage. Jesus has set us free. Can we be the church that will listen to the Holy Spirit and love others the way God has loved us? Let love out, for me, is a realization that I do a bad job at loving people. Because a lot of times I'm focused on what I got to get done. I'm focused on what my needs are. I'm looking at something like, well, why did they do it that way? What's wrong with them? Well, and then I, in my mind, I can attribute to them their motive. I'm assigning motive to other people's actions. And I'm not God. Why am I picking up that responsibility that God never gave me? It's not my job. We do have a job, and it is to let love shine through us, to let love out. We know what love is. We have the Word of God. We can pick up the Word of God. We can buy the truth, sell it not. We can experience God in such a way that we have an excitement, and we can tell others about this great God who has set us free. Let's pray. Father, above all things, we seek you. We seek the leading of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask that you would move in our lives and in our hearts in such a way that we would experience it, that we would know that your word is true, because we find freedom, because we taste it and seen. And Lord, we just ask today that you would do a new work, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit without measure. Father, that you would reveal if there's anything in us as a church that we need to take care of as individuals, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak that truth. Father, help us to be into your word, Lord. Help us to live a life that is red hot for you, Lord. Help us to see that the need is great, that the darkness is growing, and that your church needs to take a stand on your name. God, help us come to the cross. Lord, help us to lift up the name of Jesus. Help our hearts to be broken. Father, restore the joy of our salvation. Make it new again, Lord. Bring us back to this place where we fall at your feet, and with our tears, wash away the dirt. Lord, help us to see the depth of forgiveness that you've given to us. Open our eyes, Lord. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst for you. Bring revival. God, bring revival to this nation. Bring revival to this town. Father, call us out of the darkness. Chase us down in those places that we hide, with those things that so easily ensnare us. Father, we surrender all. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.